Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
This episode of Filthy Casuals is brought to you by Harry's. Go to harrys.com/filthycasuals to get $5 off an order today.
And don't forget, if you live in Sydney, you can come and see us do a live Filthy Casuals episode recording with a Mario Kart tournament that you can compete in after the show, commentated by us. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have some special guests. It's happening Saturday, December the 16th at Cake Wines in Sydney. You can find all your tickets and all that information at filthycasuals.com.au. We'd love to see you there. Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games. It's hosted by three very kind and knowledgeable boys. You got one of them in your ear holes right now. That's right. It's me, Tommy Dasilo. You've also got...
Ben Vanel. It's episode 110, and my name is Ben.
Is that why you've been doing that for the last few weeks? Because you realized 10 rhymed with Ben?
I wish I could say that, but no, it's just a happy accident.
Yeah. You're giving him a lot of credit there, and it's not even that impressive, even if it was true.
What a terrible long game to be playing. Mm-hmm.
My name's Adam Knox. It's episode 100 and Fox, and my name's Adam.
So wow. There's never going to be an episode that rhymes with your name?
Unless we do enough episodes that they have to invent a new number, which isn't how numbers work, because they always end in either in something pretty predictable.
Right.
Isn't there a number called Googleplex?
Yeah. But I think that's more of like a concept than a number. Look, as a mathematician, yes. I can tell you three things.
Yeah.
One, I don't know maths. Two, I repeat old jokes about maths. And we're done.
But even if we did record enough episodes to get to Googleplex,
yes.
That doesn't rhyme with any of our names. So I have no interest in doing
No. I'm assuming that by that time, he's changed his name to Adam Nex.
Why wouldn't I just change my name to Adam Levins and then do it next week by marrying horny
Knox,
dad Andrew Levins?
Knox, yeah. That's ridiculous.
What would you rather do? Marry him or be adopted by him?
He seems like a good dad. I'd be adopted.
Like he seems like a really good dad.
Yeah.
And an awful fuck.
Too horny.
That could be a good hook for our live show in Sydney, a wedding ceremony between you and Andrew Levins.
Oh, yes.
It's all based around you having a name that will eventually rhyme with a number of episode of this show.
Yeah. But we can have one of those tacky, and look, sorry if you've done one of these, but one of those tacky video game weddings where it's like, it's Mario and Peach on the cake.
I've got a feeling that our listenership might have had one of those.
And look, if you did, your marriage is probably fine, but it started off on the wrong foot.
Any kind of themed wedding where it's like, the people up there are happy, but just really off-putting to everyone else there.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like I think it's probably wrong to ever have something about your personality that defines you enough that if somebody put that thing as your wedding theme, you'd be like, that's them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Broaden your horizons.
Yeah. That kind of, like, that's having a shot at relationships because that's... Well, you're saying that defines you so much that you're going to have a big party about it.
No.
It's codependent, mate. That's why I'm single now.
I gotta say, I'm yet to go to a wedding where there's a pop song being played as the bride walks down the aisle where
I go
they've nailed this.
Yeah,
right.
Like, it's always something where I go, oh boy, this.
Yeah.
And especially, I went to one recently where it was being played out of just the worst speaker imaginable. And it was like a fucking 60 kilobyte MP3.
Oh, no.
It was all like the bass was all like bottoming out. It just sounded bad. Really, really bad stuff. And I hope that the marriage doesn't work out as a result of that. If you're putting that little commitment into the song, it just says to me that there's not a lot of dedication here.
Yeah. Well, I don't care.
So what have we got today? What have we got to talk about? There was
so much.
So much video game stuff going on.
When you come into the end of the year, that's when really things start to kick off.
That's right. When December you're at work, everyone around you is really putting in 100% effort. No one's half-assing it, and neither are we.
Yeah. So Xenoblade is out at the end of the week, and then that is that pretty much it for like big new releases this year?
We're almost definitely skipping something that, but I can't think of anything that I'm personally like
probably
stoked
a few
about.
Indies sneaking in there. I mean, it got announced that today that Yooka-Laylee is coming out on the Switch on December 14th.
Right.
Which, cool. That game sucked.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Just weird. Like, it took them so long that there is just no hype for that whatsoever.
Oh, you know what there is? Pokemon Ultra Sun and Moon.
That's right.
And is there not there's something else on the 3DS? I feel like there's...
I'm looking up...
No, you know what there is?
Yeah.
There's that Mario Party game that's just all the mini games, and that comes out on December 22.
Right. And that's 3DS, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a bizarre timing choice. Yeah. Like,
and it's a bizarre
that's too
platform.
Late to be a Christmas gift.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's also like you're not going to play it at Christmas because it's on a handheld console. Chuck it on the Switch, have a party.
Man.
A Mario party. Wait a minute, I've got an idea for a game.
It sucks that that's not on the Switch.
The 22nd of December is a very late. Like, that could lead to a good sort of a Jingle All the Way type movie where the kid really wants Mario Party, but it comes out that late.
Yeah.
They leave it a bit to go get it, so then they have to track it down.
It'd be a really short movie, though, because Arnie would go to the shop and there'd be like 50 copies of it just sitting there, like, all right, I'll take this one.
Oh, he went for it. He did the voice. He had a crack.
Yes.
There's that HD version of Okami.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
That game I never played and is meant to be good.
Yeah, same. Same. Yeah.
Yeah. When's that out?
The 15th or the 12th. You have to guess.
Which is it?
It's the 12th.
Okay. That's great. Yeah, I'm excited for that.
The 12th day of Christmas.
Yeah.
My true love said to me.
Bye.
There was a story. This hasn't been confirmed, but there's been a story going around this week that... Nintendo possibly in cahoots with Kellogg's. Did you see this?
Oh, really? What? They're bringing back the fucking cereal box video game disc?
No.
Damn. Whatever this news is then is going to be so much more disappointing than...
Yeah.
There was a thing on an online inventory, I think, for Target in the States that had like an image of a Super Mario cereal. I don't know if it's been verified or not, but... there's a thing on the box saying that there's that the box is in some way like it's Amiibo compatible.
Oh, what?
So you're going to get your fucking cereal box and unlock, I don't know, a fucking Tony the Tiger costume in Mario Odyssey or something. I don't know.
That's pretty cool.
But it is a cool idea.
Yeah.
I kind of almost prefer that. Like, I got to tell you guys, I don't really eat. I'm pretty bad at the moment. I don't really eat breakfast.
Neither do I.
And when I do, it's just like, you know, muesli or something boring like that.
Yeah, you can feel okay not eating Cocoa Pops every day.
But I'll tell you what, if Super Mario cereal comes out, I'm going in. The sugar intake is going through the roof.
You're getting diabetes, baby.
Man, I'm going to have... how could I not?
Yeah.
How could I not eat Super Mario cereal every day?
Fuck.
Yeah. But it looks like... Well, on this... Oh, this is cool. Like, on the... Yeah, on the box, it's like... Mario's like eating a bowl of it and it's like their little, it looks like kind of, you know, those like little marshmallowy things that they have in some American cereals. Mm. Yeah. It's like a little yellow one shaped like a question block.
Oh, cool.
Okay. Little red one shaped like mushrooms.
Fuck.
That sounds cool.
Yeah. I'll give it a try. We should do like an on-air tasting.
Oh, very
good.
That'd
be good.
Yeah.
Is it just Mario or will they have like a bunch of other characters
too?
Well,
this isn't confirmed yet. This is just one of those, you know, those things where like a retailer fucks up and accidentally puts it on their site before it's been announced, which... Do you reckon you just cop it hard from the company if you're... You know what I mean?
Oh,
if you're
God.
The shop that accidentally like leaks something by putting it up early.
Yeah.
Do you reckon you get a call from Nintendo going, what the fuck are you doing? what are you doing down there, you idiots?
Yeah. It's half the time, it's human error and they probably get fired. And the other half, it's strategically leaked to generate interest.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah,
well, I don't think... You wouldn't get fired, surely.
I'd fire you if you did it.
But it's just an accident.
Well, you should be better.
But what about my kids? It's Christmas.
If you can't be trusted doing that, how can you be trusted driving a car? You've also lost your license.
Why have you done that to me now as well?
What's this position you're in where you can just revoke people's licenses?
Boss of the world.
boss of the world.
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
Well, so then if you fire somebody, that's a death sentence.
That's
because they're not going to get rehired.
Not by me.
Oh fuck!
Unless there's a coup.
What was Knox's position under you at as boss of the world?
Doggy style.
Yeah.
Oh yes, mate, you're back in.
You're the new president.
Oh, this is really putting me into the Christmas spirit, I gotta say. Anyway, that sounds cool. I'm fascinated to know how the amiibo thing factors into it. It's just a chip on the box, or whether there's like, are there like exclusive little toys in there?
Yeah.
That'd be cool. Little cereal amiibos. Cool.
Yeah, that'd be great. It's better than
who the fuck am I? Oh, that'd be cool. Little cereal amiibos. Fuck you. No, they wouldn't.
Yeah.
This is gross.
No, I'd be into it. I'd be really into it.
I think it's a fun idea. It's like it's better than the QR code.
Totally.
It's certainly better than that.
Yeah.
That's
you were saying they're still big on the QR code in China.
In Hong Kong, yes.
Oh, in Hong Kong.
And
sorry.
You too, Tommy. Yeah,
they're big in Shanghai too. That's like everywhere I went, I saw heaps of people using the QR code.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One place where it stuck.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I found interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, because here, it was just like, you know, there was like a month where every gig poster that you saw on the street had a QR code, and we all went, nah, mate.
Nah.
Yeah. And then they just kind of gave up.
Nah. I don't want to take my phone out and conveniently snap that. Give me a long URL.
QR, more like FU, mate.
Oh, well, they can't come back from that one. There's not really, though. Do kids not eat cereal anymore?
I have no idea.
Why would that be the case?
I don't see, when I walk down the supermarket aisle to beg for money, I don't see cereal boxes.
I don't see people. I see numbers.
When I say people,
I see potential.
I don't see like the gimmicky cereals that we used to have, where it was all crossovers with movies, and Coco the monkey would be wearing Batman's helmet or whatever.
I do agree with that. I was actually thinking that the other day, that you don't. Yeah, maybe it's just that I'm not looking out for it because you're not being targeted to in the same way.
Yeah,
but I can't remember seeing like a current like. Getting the days of getting stuff in the cereal box, at least in this country, seem to be not really a thing anymore.
Right.
I think kids don't give a shit about physical objects anymore. They're all digital.
They've transcended
all on iPads.
Yeah.
Because like when we were kids, the one I remember off the top of my head is KFC when Godzilla came out.
Oh yeah.
Matthew Broderick one. They had those little Godzilla puppets, and they were fucking incredible.
That's right.
And you push the button and it'd go.
That's right.
Poorly recorded.
I do remember like wanting to go to Macca's to get a specific Happy Meal, just get a specific toy.
I
do recall doing that.
And I don't feel funny like you see that advertising in McDonald's and stuff anymore for those tie-ins.
So funny you mentioned, because I was in a McDonald's on the weekend.
Yes.
And currently the Happy Meal toy, our old friend Super Mario.
Yes, that's the one time I've actually noticed it.
But even that, it's just like, it was just this kind of tiny little thing on the menu, and I remember that, you know, it used to be you'd walk in and there'd be a big poster everywhere. It didn't even show you like what all the different toys are. It literally just said Super Mario's in the Happy Meal.
It
like,
used to
no description
it
of
it used to have like
every
the,
week
the yeah exactly like yeah. which week it was to have the big tick on it or whatever and
maybe kids are less consumerist now. Maybe that's been the change.
I guess
fucking commies coming out.
I guess they've probably like just gotten heat from like enough heat from parents and consumer watchdog groups where it's like you can't do this anymore because it's such a pain in the ass going in there with kids.
It's unhealthy. You can't target it at kids.
They've shifted to loot boxes.
Yes. Well, you know what my favorites were? The KFC where they would do the Looney Tunes mugs. Do you remember them?
Oh, yes.
Like the really detailed, like,
and kind of thick plastic, yeah.
Yeah, and they were just like a head.
Yeah.
So it's like you're drinking out of Elmer Fudd's skull.
Yes. I never loved those. I loved the, used to get Nutella in a glass thing that was actually a glass. It turned, like, it became a drinking glass.
That's
and
right,
there were Looney Tunes and Marvel and DC heroes, I think.
And they had Simpsons ones at one point.
Yeah,
Those little fucking Dragon Ball Z tokens that were in chips.
Oh, yeah.
And they'd always be a little bit greasy because they'd been sitting in the chips.
Yeah, that was always unfortunate.
Tarzos, I had a lot of Tarzos.
Tarzos,
so good. That really was the golden age of food and culture tie-ins.
Yeah. Well, guess what? It's coming back. Super
the 1990s, the golden age of culture. Friends, Frasier, what do you want?
90s kids will get this.
Feel old yet? Yeah. Anyway, excited about that. Also, well, the other thing is, who knows this cereal? Who knows if we'll even get it here?
We certainly won't. Yeah. Hopefully, a listener can send it to us.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Or hopefully, we can go to one of those like American food importers and pay $87 for a box
yes.
of it. There's people that you see shopping at those things where it's like, there's a brand of this here that is the same thing for a quarter of the price.
I've got a feeling that a friend of the show, Webby, does that. I think he's a big fan of that kind of stuff.
Tech guru Webby?
Yes.
Like Reese's peanut butter cups they don't have here. Reese's bloody peanut butter cunt.
Yes, they do.
Do they? Reese's peanut butter cunts?
Yeah. Yeah.
I went to one of those places once because I was with a friend and we were just driving past it. And we're like, oh, let's go in. It's like one of those big supermarkets, just all American stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, so you go, oh, cool, well, I can get this candy. That's great. But then I saw a family that all had American accents and they had like a huge trolley and it was just full of stuff. Like they were just doing their weekly shopping here. They're just getting like peanut butter
and
just all the day-to-day stuff. It's like, okay, this is extreme.
Your essentials, peanut butter.
Bog roll. Yeah, it was just like, this must cost you a fort. Like, let go, mate.
Yeah.
Assimilate. Love it or leave it.
Speaking of that thing of Target or whatever, I don't know if you specifically said Target.
What?
I said targeting children.
Earlier. Putting up the release dates earlier. That stuff, when like a Target or retailer does that sort of thing.
Speaking of Al-Qaeda, guys, I've got some thoughts on the West that I'd like to air, if that's okay with you.
There was a leak, I don't know if it was through that, but Devil May Cry 5.
Oh, yeah.
There was some information about that came out this week. That's some news.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
What kind of
cereal is that going to be?
It's an extremely fast-paced cereal.
It
pours out of the box very quickly, and it's very tight control.
What if this is like, you know how Konami got out of making games and just make pachinko machines now?
Yes.
What if this is the first step to Nintendo just becoming a full-time cereal company?
Oh, man.
It's like the Switch has been a success. Let's just get out at the peak of our powers. Let's not be forced out.
They only release four different kinds of cereal and they say they'll release more over the course of the year. Yep.
Just all their directs, all the Nintendo directs from now on are just about fucking different brands of toast they're going to bring out in 2019.
A lot of their cereal, like, pretty stale. This is like cereal that I would have eaten in 1990.
There's a Mario cereal, a Zelda cereal, and maybe a Mario Kart one.
But this
is all stuff about Nintendo.
This is very good.
The Devil May Cry. Have either of you ever played any of the Devil May Cry games?
No.
I've not.
No.
So
DMC.
Yeah. Well, that was... So they did four of them and then kind of rebooted it as that DMC one, which was a different thing.
Was that the one that was kind of... Or they all kind of like that kind of God of War 3D kind of beat 'em up hack and slash kind of thing?
Like shooting and swords action type thing.
Right.
I say Devil May Cry 5, Devil May Cry. We're five games in and we still don't have a definitive answer on whether or not the devil will cry. I mean, come on. Get your shit together.
Final Fantasy. I mean, what the fuck are you doing?
Dean.
Donkey Kong. He's not even a Kong. But so people who were fans of the series weren't massively into DMC.
Right.
And it was their thing to try and broaden it, and I guess it didn't happen because it seems as though they're making a 5 now, which is back to the ones before the reboot.
Oh, right.
So this
is
like if
That's
they
weird.
Made another Dark Knight movie now because people fucking hate Ben Affleck as Batman.
Yeah, they just bring correctly. Eric Banner back for another crack at the Hulk.
Yeah.
Christopher Reeve is back.
I would respect that. Hulk 2, just out of nowhere. Banner's back. Look, you know what? We thought we fucked it, but we've given it a few goes since. They're all equally as bad.
Yeah.
We may as well just go back to the start, and eventually one of these will take.
His name's Eric Banner. He's playing Bruce Banner. It just makes sense.
Then they get Ed Norton back for another crack. They just keep cycling through him.
I like it.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
This thing is just a rumor, by the way, I want to point out, so it may turn into nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But that could be kind of cool.
Which do you think is more likely to be true, Devil May Cry 5 or Super Mario Cereal?
Neither. I reckon you were lying the whole time.
Yeah.
What?
And I think I've just made that up for content.
Yeah, Jesus. Pretty great boast, isn't it?
My uncle works at Nintendo's cereal.
My uncle is one of the little rice bubble kids.
Oh, yeah, it was kind of interesting.
Snap. Yeah. Nice. I was going to say my uncle is Snap, and then I went, that is not going to be clear enough at all what I'm trying to say. I'm in over my head. So, Knox, you and I have been playing something this week that our air quotes friend over there has mentioned on the show before.
Yeah.
Is that because I'm not really your friend, I'm your good friend?
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
You're my husband, so I can. Yeah, that's I want right. to get in on that. Wait, no, I take your last name. I fucked it.
Yeah.
Nothing rhymes with Vanel.
Yeah. Hell.
Oh, yeah.
Near 11 or 10, Ben. Nier Automata is the game we've been playing.
Mm-hmm.
How far have you gotten into it?
I'm in the desert. I've played like maybe an hour and a half-ish.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Wait, what bit's the desert?
You go out into the sandy dunes of the desert. It's like a desert city. There's a desert. I don't know how else to describe a desert.
When you say which bit is the desert, it's impossible to know how else to say it.
Camels. Well, there's no camels, but
is it
a lot of sand.
Big, like, girder building?
Yeah.
Okay. Arabian Nights starts playing in the background.
Okay. Yep.
There's a talking parrot.
You rub a lamp. It's great.
Sahara. I barely know. But so...
Is this... You get it now, right? You know the bit we're talking about.
Do you know what a desert is?
Yes, yes. Sahara Valley, Noah.
Sounds like you're in denial about what we're talking about here.
I wish I could just start talking about Assassin's Creed Origins, because that would have been perfect.
This literally is the same thing we did when we talked about Assassin's Creed Origins.
Is it really?
Yeah, we did this for like 5 minutes.
Luckily for me, my memory does not go that far back.
I must have been high. Reglyphics, okay.
Hey.
All right.
Cleopatra, fuck off. So
I wish you were dead, like all of them.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Sarcophagus.
I want my mummy. All right.
How far did you get in when you were playing it?
Oh, further. Like there's a kind of a big like set piece at the end of that, and then there's like a transitional section, and then there's a big open world thing. So you guys are quite early on, I think.
Oh, sure.
I've finished the first run. So you finish it 26 times.
Right.
I don't think that's a spoiler because it's kind of the thing of the game.
I think we talked about it like when it was coming
out. And I've gotten the first ending, which is about, I don't know, 7 hours or something over.
Oh, okay. I must be like 6.5 hours in.
Not if you got... Anyway, whatever.
Right.
It is.
So it's basically you play as a robot who...
You're an android.
You're an android.
Please.
Yes.
And you can't say the R word.
Or more accurately, you're a sexy anime lingerie lady.
Yes.
Yeah,
exactly.
To an uncomfortable degree.
Yeah.
Yes.
Who... what's the story? Like, humans have had to flee Earth and live on the moon.
Yeah.
Hundreds of years ago.
Aliens. Yep. And so you're part of this group... of androids that go down to Earth and are trying to kind of like fix it up and get it good enough for humans to come back to.
Yeah, the aliens made machines that are they're like proxy fighters.
Yeah,
and they're
killing
these machines.
And so it feel even for only having done a little bit of it, it feels like I've played more than I have because it's got so many. It's kind of hard to describe because it's not really one thing. Like it throws even in just the opening hour. It throws so much stuff at you that it feels like you've played about 8 games in the space of a 45-minute setting.
Knox, do you... you will definitely know more than me about this, but I felt like...
Yes, I don't know what the subject's going to be, but yes.
I felt like a big
being
moron.
A virgin,
okay,
being
yeah,
a virgin.
Okay, nice. Yeah, both good ones. A moronic virgin. Most of the different... most of the variety is in the opening hour.
Kind of like it falls into more of a rhythm after that.
Yeah.
And those same sort of styles of gameplay come back here and there, but it doesn't really do much different than what you see in the first couple of hours in terms of the structure of the gameplay.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what
opening bit, it throws so much at you and there's kind of a little boss that it's kind of this whole segment that happens like before you get explained what the world is and before you can properly save.
Yeah.
But even just that bit, I was like, if this was an indie and this had been the whole game, I would have been like,
yeah,
this is fucking great.
Yeah, because the writing is so good and it looks great. The design's
music's amazing.
Cool.
So it switches from, it's in that opening bit, you switch from, and you said this at the time, top-down shooter, and then it kind of shifts perspective and you can, you're in like a little battle
little
suit,
mech
thing. And then you're, and then when you're on foot, you you have something that's you're controlling this little flying laser
little
thing that runs around
boy.
Shooting
yep.
for you, and you've also got like melee combat stuff.
Yeah,
and it sounds it's something that like if you pitched it to someone on paper, you'd go get fucked. That's just not going to work.
Yeah,
like,
take out three of those things.
Complete mess.
Yeah.
So you've kind of got to admire the yeah the dedication to just sticking to this batshit idea of just having all of this stuff in the pot.
But it all transitions very smoothly.
Totally,
like,
yeah.
You never feel like you're doing like a WarioWare kind of series of minigames bullshit thing.
No, it's so smooth.
It feels like a just one action sequence that's playing out from different perspectives and with different tools. And then once you, like, the main bit of at least the first run through, because it changes significantly between each of the things as well, so I'm in no way, like, finished with it.
Right.
Is what I've been told. And the main sort of bit of the game is that sort of pretty standard action game behind the back combat.
Yep.
Mixed with kind of RPG-ish adventure-y, go talk to this person, they'll give you a quest.
Open
world type stuff.
Yeah.
The world is fucking weird and well-written and fascinating.
It looks great. Like the bit that I've just gotten up to, like, yeah, you go... The very first bit, you're in this kind of like, what, shipping... Containery kind of thing.
Like a factory kind
of
thing.
And
then you get sent down to Earth and it's like a ruined city and it's just like... It's very similar to some of the bits you're in The Last of Us where it's like decrepit buildings and everything's kind of overgrown.
I was going to say, like, it kind of feels like an early PS3 game. It's not that... Like, it's just very kind of open.
Yeah.
There's not a lot going on. There's not a lot of detail. It's just kind of like... Yeah,
and it is jarring. It's quite linear in terms of where you can go.
Yeah,
and that's generally fine.
It stops being that at some point, though.
Right. Well, I mean, just in terms of like the way that it does it, where instead of like you'll be at a cliff, and instead of just like having a barrier there, it'll be an open gap. So you try and jump off it, and you just can't. Like it's like you're up against a wall. Like little bits like that are kind of a bit jarring. Where it's like, if I can't go off it, just put something there.
The graphics themselves aren't good as well. Like it looks like you said, like a PS3 game.
Yeah,
but the artistic design and that stuff is good.
Oh, yeah. and the kind of
and the scale of it.
Yeah, and the way it's kind of framed it of like putting you into this android and making the world kind of weirdly ambiguous and glitchy and stuff. It's like, okay, this kind of feels like of a piece. It's like pretty cohesive,
and it does a cool job of throwing you into the middle of something and going like, you're not meant to understand what this is because the people here do. Yeah. And then there's
really
something
like
more going on that we'll show you later probably.
Right.
But you hang out
I really
out
like
until
that,
we do.
That you get thrown in and you do about an hour and then it goes, okay, here's what this world is. Like it plays a little video for you where it's like, this is what's happened to Earth.
Yeah.
And
there's
no like sort of character for you to anchor with who's like, what's all this? Who are these aliens? Everyone knows.
Yeah.
Well, we haven't even talked about, well, I think one of the coolest bits of it, that when you... The whole device of when you die, the setup of the game is like you get just rebooted into another body.
Yeah.
And then your body that you is just left there where you died. So you can go back to it and reactivate it and it'll fight alongside you.
Or pick up your equipment from it.
That's such a cool... Because that's
to
always
Dark
the thing
Souls
with games
thing.
Of like, when you die, it's like, so how are we explaining this away? What, you're just back? Like, it's such an interesting way of kind of... taking that mechanic that we all sort of take for granted and going, let's work out a way to kind of justify this in the game and build this kind of weird thing that just happens in games into the kind of the flow and the story and the gameplay.
Yeah, which kind of ties into, what I was saying about the design of the world compensating for the limitations of like the graphics and stuff. It's they just have clearly thought about everything and are very intelligent.
Totally. And then the presentation as a whole is real, like the music is great.
Music. And a lot of like vocal tracks in the music too.
And shifting based on the context of what you're doing. I love that when the music will change based on what's going on screen.
Yeah.
And the combat is just so fun.
It's really fun.
Like it's never a thing, even though you go through, it's very RPG-ish in that you just go out into the world and you're going to come across like these swarms of enemies, but it's still, I mean, I'm still early in, but it doesn't feel like a chore when they come at you because it's so, using your right stick to control your little flying laser thing, it's just so satisfying and fun. It's so easy to line up. I mean, that first segment to me, like, it kind of felt like, it was weird having just played these two games quite recently, but it sort of felt like a bit of a cross between Mario and Doom in that you've got these bits where you're running along these platforms and it's very controlled in these little bits where it's sending you.
Yep.
And then you come out of that and you're into this kind of quick response mm-hmm. kind of shooting and combat-y kind of stuff. Like, yeah it's great.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to play more of it to see how fucked it gets in as it goes. Like, apparently it goes some places.
Right.
Because this guy, Yoko Taro, is the name of the like director of it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's very Kojima-ish. It reminds me of that sort of thing of like these weird concepts that you could only really do with a video game.
Yeah. Right.
And it all seems like it's going somewhere and like he has an idea, or the game has an idea of what it wants to tell you at some point. And it has that very Japanese thing of like you're fighting this big robot and then there's some philosophy and then there's another big robot and then there's a sexy anime lady and she's like, hey, I'm not wearing pants. Is that a part of the story? No.
I don't even mind if it doesn't have a satisfying narrative conclusion, because that like ambiguity that I mentioned the first time I played it is enough. Like, it's cool. It's like watching a weird movie that, like, the experience is satisfying. It doesn't matter what the ending is.
Totally. Yeah. There's like an entrancing kind of thing to it where you just are happy to explore whatever they give you.
Totally.
I'm really liking it and want to play more of it. And now it's made end of the year.
And is this... Is this a follow-on from another game?
There was a game called Nier, and they're related in certain ways. I never played Nier.
Yeah.
But
this isn't like a sequel or...
My understanding of it is that it's a basically standalone thing.
Right.
But there's stuff that you would appreciate more if you've played the first one.
Because this kind of came out, like middle of the year or something, and didn't really make a lot of noise at the time, but it's just sort of been a thing where gradually... Kind of heard more and more about it over the previous months and kind of wondered.
You played that Nier?
Yeah, man, I played that Nier. You reckon Tommy's played it?
I don't know, man. Should
what are you guys talking about?
Yeah. Let's spread this by word of mouth.
Hey, guys, right, whispering. What are you talking about?
Hey, you played that Nier?
Oh, I played that Nier.
We're shit!
Oh, you played that Nier!
I was talking about it for like 15 minutes. You know I played it.
Yeah, bro.
We both have amnesia.
Yeah, I wonder why that is, like why it sort of came out. I guess it's been a big year for like big franchises. It's like anything like this that's like a little weird and
I think
the graphics are not like, you know, unless it's like a big kind of blockbuster thing just gets lost in the mix.
Yeah, that hectic first half of the year as well where it was like a lot of games, A, out of Japan and B, that required a lot of time to get the most out of them.
Yeah.
Something was going to fall by the wayside.
Yep.
And this, it was Yakuza Zero, which none of us have talked about before.
But yeah, this one being like, the sell of it being like, it's a really strange conceptual game. Okay, that's hard to sell.
Totally. Yeah. And like, I had to sit down a number of times and convince myself to play it.
Yes.
It was really fun as well. Luckily.
I bought it like 2 months ago now and it's just been sort of sitting there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, say this of everything, but I'm going to keep doing it. Wish it was on the Switch.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to play it in handheld because it does use... it's sometimes a little confusing as to what you're looking at because the scale is so large.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
So I don't give a shit about if it's on the Switch or not.
Yeah.
Because I'm a real gamer, Tommy.
Yeah, I've definitely been playing mostly my PS4. I've barely touched my Switch.
Mm.
Same lately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Since I finished Odyssey. And when I say finished, I mean played to the credits. And that's the end of the game. And I don't want to hear anything about it getting better after that. And I won't.
Nothing but respect for my credit sequence.
That's right.
You're just walking like an Egyptian over there.
Now, before I walk like an Egyptian, I'm going to talk like a man selling a product. So this week we're sponsored by Harry's Razors. They're really good. I love
Boy,
them.
Boy, sell that.
Bye.
This is how the Egyptians sold stuff, I think. No, but Harry's is great. I think it's a pretty good gift for this time of the year. If you're thinking about your dad, it's a great dad gift.
I'm always thinking about them dads.
Oh, I'm thinking about my dad right now. Love you, Dad.
Oh, now I'm thinking about your dad.
Oh, yeah. He's pretty good, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Harry's has got 3 million guys switching over to Harry's from the generic shopping supermarket razors. Ugh. And, mate, I don't like those generic supermarket razors. I love Harry's.
If you're a grown-ass man and you're buying those... You know, those razors. Look, I don't want to say the brand name.
No. Just what the supermarket tells you to buy.
Yeah, those ones where it's like 50 for $3.
Make your own decisions and listen to what we tell you to buy.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's right.
You're a grown-ass man who needs to shave.
So Harry's, they're built with the five-blade German-engineered situation, okay? Five blades.
You know what? 70 years ago, that would have been a terrifying sentence.
Still kind of is, I gotta say.
Yeah. But yeah, so the regular kits, they come with like a shave gel. There's you get like a, you can choose the color of your handle because your handle is the thing that you keep and you put the blades in them.
Yep.
And mate, they're just really good. They're cheap because they don't have overheads. They're an online company. And just look, Harry's are good. I think, yeah. I think the gift set thing is the perfect thing for this time of the year.
Yeah, it is definitely worth investing in good quality razor.
Oh,
anyone
yeah.
who has made the jump from getting the most generic, cheap shit you can get in the supermarket to doing it proper like an adult will tell you it is worth it.
It's yeah. your face, man. That's all you got.
And usually you kind of...
all you got.
Yeah. I'm just a floating head.
Yeah, we're all in jars. A lot of people don't know that about us.
Yeah, we're like Futurama.
Makes it fucking yeah. hard to shave, but when we do, we use Harry's razors. Well, say I wanted to get some of these Harry's razors. How would I go about that?
I don't know. No. you go to harrys.com/filthycasuals and you get $5 off your order. harrys.com/filthycasuals for $5 off.
Nice.
So this holiday, give Harry's and get bloody handsome.
Is that on there or did you? Is that a freestyle?
No, it's on there.
Oh, okay. I like
just,
it.
I just delivered it like I was thinking it up at the
yeah,
time.
Yeah, that's good. I reckon that's what they want. You taking credit
yes.
for their hardworking sales department.
Yeah, for their copywriters.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Harry's, thanks for sponsoring this episode.
Yeah, go over.
Sorry for the ad read.
Do the right thing. Support, if you're in the market for some razors, support a company that supports this show that you love more yeah. than life itself, I assume.
If you're yes. in the market for some blazers, I'm having a sale on my blazer collection.
How many blazers you got?
One.
One, righto. So, quick sale.
How many blades does it have?
I haven't emptied the pockets.
Okay, all right.
So, one switch blade.
Yes.
How much do you want for this blazer?
$900,000.
$900,000. And what brand, where do you get the blazer from?
Dead Man on Street.
Dead Man on Street.
Yeah. Oh, that's a sick brand. I love that.
I took that blazer off of him. He'd fallen from a window. This is boring. Anyway.
Mate, it was up to you to make it interesting.
And I decided it was boring. It is the hottest day here, by the way.
It's really hot. Not weather that, report. I mean, I don't think it's fair to blame the heat for what you just did.
No. I'm going to do it. If it was, I'm like the opposite of a lizard where I move quicker when I'm cold.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yes. Me too.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that I've been able to contribute anything to this podcast.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about today. I'm talking about for the whole run.
Nox, I got to say, I did a gig recently where right before me there was an improv troupe on.
Nice.
And it was no good. It made your improv look like the fucking bald guy from Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Oh, Colin Mochrie.
Yeah, Colin Mochrie.
Yeah,
and the very improv
good.
You just did was bang in the middle of those two.
That was an improv. That was just me telling you something that happened.
I see the world as a stage, and on that stage, improv nonstop.
One of those things where, like, you could. I think improv sometimes gets a bit of a free pass because people are just like people. You know what I mean? Give it a lot of leeway because it's like, well, I mean, it's happening right here yeah. in front of me. This yeah. is cool. This was not, the audience did not give off this vibe at all.
Yeah.
And in fact, it felt like by the time I got on, they were like, thank God, yes, please.
Someone prepared.
Who's thought for more than 5 seconds about what they're doing.
Yeah.
It's only ever really accepted as a valid version of comedy. Like, I guess there's improvised music and jazz, but not yeah. a lot of people really go for that. And like, you never see improvised storytellers where they're just like, all right, so, there was a man named Greg once.
Yeah.
And this man...
I don't think Shakespeare was just riffing.
He was hunting for a big-ass whale.
Oh.
Moby Rick.
But people talk about
Moby Rick!
People talk about the high end of it and go, no, it's a skill. It's like, yeah, you know what's a more impressive skill? Writing something.
Yeah.
Putting the effort in.
Anyway, that all you improv motherfuckers.
Yeah, we're going to have Ben Russell back on the show sometime.
But he, I mean, he's like a self-hating improv.
Yeah.
Improver?
Improviser?
I barely
improviser.
Know.
There you yeah. go. That's yeah. the one.
Yeah. How's Assassin's Creed Origins going?
It's going really good.
Yeah.
I really, really like it. I've played it more than I've played a lot of games this year, actually. Like, I've kind of was hesitant to go in on Wolfenstein 2 because I just was like, I want to keep playing this game I definitely like.
Yeah, right.
But I really like it a lot. It's got a an element of The Witcher 3 where all the side quests are more interesting than the main story.
Right.
But I think the difference is the main story in Assassin's Creed Origins is just bad.
Yeah, right.
But all the side quest stuff is really interesting. All the characters, like those little characters are really good and funny mostly.
That is a huge change for that series, how it's been going for a while.
Totally, right? Totally. And it's just because I think the landscape is so varied. It's not just like a man with a shop in a city needing you to fetch a parcel back.
Yeah.
Like it's a lot of different things. There's like, because there's all the animals and stuff that pops up in the Far Cry games and makes them kind of interesting. Yeah. It's just
a goat with a shop in the city. He wants his parcel back.
But it's just a much more varied version of an Assassin's Creed game just because they've chosen an area of the world that's kind of interesting and not just a city. And I think I felt initially that the fact that it wasn't really like big built-up cities was going to be a problem because a lot of the Assassin's Creed games have been based around that and the platforming that's inherent in that.
Yeah.
And so this is kind of not really like an Assassin's Creed game, in my opinion, because it's just more about like traversing this world, which is massive, and doing a bunch of weird stuff in it.
And from the bit I've played of it, they still do have some forts and towers and stuff that you do the same kind of climb, jump up the walls.
Yeah. And again, even those are implemented more like a Far Cry game where it's like, oh, this area is a fort and you can go into that and clear it out and then you'll clock that fort and you can continue moving on. Whereas I think, in the other Assassin's Creed games, it's more just like, here's a city, here's an objective, and then all the streets are filled with bad guys.
So has it gone a long way to, because the biggest problem with Assassin's Creed this as a series for a while, I think, has been the amount of busy work it's felt like you're asked to do, in the sense that you're just doing these same repetitive things in just very slightly different areas. Is that different?
Yeah, I think it's different. And I think it's different in the way that Mad Max, I thought, was different to a lot of open world games in that the world's so cool to move around that you really have a lot of fun just getting from one town to the next. And once you get there, then it's like, okay, here's a couple of kind of relatively run-of-the-mill quests. But then you're like, oh, but then I can just like go over to this town and there's like, I'm going through like wheat fields and rivers and mountains and
life's
like...
about the journey, huh?
That's right, baby. It's all
fuck
about
the
journey.
Assassin's Creed Kerouac. That's what I want to play.
I'm doing a lot of heroin and I think sleeping with underage women. I think that's what Jack Kerouac did.
I'm in.
But
I definitely want to play more of it.
The combat's different. It's more difficult and I think therefore more rewarding. The style of it's really cool. I love the Egyptian stuff. Like, it's just awesome. Visually, it's one of the most impressive games I've ever played. Mm. The water effects are just like, it looks like real water. It's incredible.
Water.
I've been spilling a lot of drinks on my TV.
Was water like the graphical turning
point?
Why
would you be spilling drinks on your TV if you thought it looked like real water?
No. I think the real water is real water.
Oh, you've got water on your teeth. I thought you meant you saw water and thought it was real and went, oh no, I need to put that water out and threw more water.
I better send this cup home. Water was such a graphical turning point, you know what I mean?
Ooh,
for the longest time where it just looked dog shit in games where they would try to do it.
Yeah.
Like the Nintendo 64 launching with Wave Race.
Oh,
cool.
Yeah.
This looks bad.
Far Cry, the first Far Cry was the first game that I was like, that looks like real water.
The first
Halo
time
2.
You saw that, it was
right.
Water looking kind of real. It was like, all right, here we go.
Yeah.
Now we're in the...
I was chucking cups everywhere.
Just emptying your Looney Tunes mugs from KFC.
I remember Halo 2 is the first time I can vividly remember seeing like accurate distortion underwater.
Right.
Yeah.
And Half-Life 2 had good water, I think, as well, maybe. But maybe I'm wrong about that, actually. It might not have.
Water's kind of the new show-off thing, isn't it? Remember,
Remember
the, like, I guess... late 90s was all about lens flare. It's all about having a bit where the camera pan, it's like that lens flare thing in there. It's like,
which never seemed that fucking hard to make to me.
Exactly.
Right.
I never understood why that was like, look how good our graphics are.
Yeah.
There's five sprites on the screen, but they're see-through.
I think they were all banking on it, on, you know, most of us not knowing really how developing works. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Just going like, just giving them, like if you tried to pull that off now, like it feels like there's a lot more behind the scenes stuff and we kind of all know.
Yeah.
We're a little bit more versed in how things work these days.
Yeah.
That if you tried to pull that off, people would go, yeah, Matt, who cares?
So they were at the time trying to grift you into thinking, we made a camera.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else is this? Is there to say about this game? The boss fights are fun.
Oh, yeah.
I have had no contact with microtransactions of any kind. I know they're there.
Yeah, but this sounds like you're at court. Like, yeah, microtransactions had a restraining order on you.
Well,
yeah. I've had no contact.
It's more like I am purposefully staying away from it so I don't have to criticize it because I love this game. I really,
so
really do.
You see them in the court like, I could go to that shop or whatever? Like,
no, well, no. Maybe I'm just not looking at that. Maybe I filter out ads, you know, just because I see them everywhere. The whole world just taken over by corporations, man.
Harry's razors.
But it hasn't, and I think, I guess, because it's going to be for me an entirely single player experience.
Yeah,
there's no reason for me to get involved with them at all. So,
hey Knox, I reckon I know what we get this guy for Christmas. Buy him a fucking gold hat in Assassin's Creed or whatever you can get.
Oh, get him a couple of microtransactions.
Yeah, let's get him a couple of microtransactions.
You know, guys, actually, I really like whiskey. Like, if you were just saying.
Oh, you can get whiskey in the game?
Small bit of whiskey. Yeah, all right.
Fucking get fucked. Yeah,
cool. It sounds good. Like, it seems like something you could enjoy for having never had any previous attachment to the Assassin's Creed
absolutely
franchise.
Yeah.
Fun.
I would probably have a guess from, again, the small amount that I've played, that you might even enjoy it more without the baggage of knowing what the Assassin's Creed formula is.
Definitely. It's massive.
Yeah.
It's, the map is just dauntingly big.
Right.
And that plays into a bit of that, like, oh, there's too many things to do. There's too many icons on the map. I'll never finish this game. But I don't know. I think that's good because if you want to, you have a massive world to explore.
We had some listener questions to get to.
Yes, we do. Yeah. We have, and we haven't answered questions for a while. And I want to say we get them, we read them, we appreciate them. We don't think they're good enough for the show, but no, we do. It's just we often run out of time with that. So we've got
we've been lucky. I mean, we've had a lot to talk about most other
weeks.
Man,
this fucking whole year has been crazy for the most part.
It's been fucked. In a good way.
Get listeners, get ready for our year-end review because there's going to be a lot to talk about.
Here's what I was thinking we should do, and I was meaning to ask you to this in private today, but hey, I'll just do it here on the air.
Okay.
Because I don't really know how we would do it.
Circle jerking?
Why don't we open it up to a poll of the listeners of what their games of the year were.
Oh, I think that's interesting.
A fourth participant in the
we can just do ours and then at the end of the ep go, and here's what you guys voted.
Yeah, almost like there was a fourth participant in the episode.
You know, I'm thinking there should just be two participants in the episodes.
Yeah, get out of here, Tommy.
I see what's going on. My plan worked. I'm free. I'm free of this prison. But I think that'd be cool.
Yes,
I like
it.
That list to read out.
I like it
a lot. So let's work out how we do that on the Facebook page or on our website or something. Like
we can do a Google form like we did for the thingy.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Yeah. Boom.
I want to do a Bing form.
All right.
I want to do a dog pile form.
Ask Jeeves. So our first email we're going to read out here is from Aiden. Speaking of Game of the Year stuff, this is one that I've been thinking about a bit more.
What is your Game of the Year? Aiden, you fuckhead.
So it's about Resident Evil 7 he's sort of asking, do you think that people have a right to complain about the free DLC that they promised for spring but has been delayed till December?
Yeah.
People have been complaining, but even though it's free, should people be able to complain if it should it have been in the game originally is what some people are saying. So this we're brought like specifically with Resident Evil 7. I don't think any of us have been following that game particularly.
No.
And he says that I was probably wrong to call it fine. And I would say you're probably wrong to call it anything other than fine, Aiden.
Wow.
Got you real hard.
Well,
That game.
Right. As someone who does two podcasts that are both free and is regularly subjected to people giving their dumbass opinions about it, I'm going to say people absolutely do not have the right to be angry about something that is costing them nothing.
However,
to be fair, you're mainly talking about your other one when you say dumbass opinions being given.
Sure. Yeah. To be fair, so what I think the most interesting part of that question was relating to content that was removed from the game artificially to then be given back as DLC.
Yeah.
Which doesn't really happen that much anymore. I feel like because Mass Effect 3 was the big one at the time where one of the characters in that, let's call him Billy because I don't remember his name, but he was...
Was it Caden?
It was the... Promethean guy. I remember the word Promethean, but
well, he wasn't Promethean.
He was no, he was.
Is that what they call Prometheans in Mass Effect?
I think so. It was whatever the race before everyone else, and he was a really interesting character and like a pretty significant part of the story. And he was either like a day one purchase thing,
right,
or a pre-order bonus or something, or mm-hmm. you had to pay $8.
I don't think I got that character then.
Yeah, Javek was his name. And the DLC okay. was called From Ashes because he was a Promethean who had been like locked in a sarcophagus for years.
Wow.
And woken up and he's like, what the fuck? The galaxy's different.
Wow, okay.
And it was really interesting and it was clearly meant to have been in the game.
You should edit out the bit where you guys argue about whether a video game character is Promethean or not because you sound like fucking losers.
No, man. I'm having a Promethean theme wedding, so we'll, it's just play there.
We'll just loop the stuff of you talking about a Nintendo cereal. You fucking nerd.
Everyone needs cereal. All right.
But yeah, I think people do have the right to complain about something, even if it's free, when they've made a promise and broken it. I think.
Yeah, but I don't know. Like, well, I mean, I don't really know the story. So it got cut out of the game. Like, yeah, if it's something that was originally going to be in there and then got cut out so they could charge you for it,
right?
Then yeah, that's shitty.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, I can't. Having only heard this story, I can't really see how there's a nefarious reason for doing that.
I think it would only be to keep interest in the game over a long period of time.
Yeah.
Well, and the DLC, like the whole thing of having a DLC plan before the game comes out is weird because you can make it in such a way that you make the game you want to make and then have this plan of here's the extra content we're going to do.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if you already have that in your head that you know you've got this extra period of a year or whatever to release stuff, does that influence how you make the game?
I think absolutely it does. Yeah. I don't know if it is definitely something that still happens a lot. I think we're getting into the era of content being locked behind microtransactions and ridiculous grinding. But I think that it has. There was a phase of game development where it definitely was happening.
Just the idea of release dates and shit means nothing anymore because there's so much early access stuff.
Yeah.
There's so many games where it's an ongoing service, like Destiny or whatever.
Yeah.
So
Well, even like Shadow of War, like all of that stuff is put in there to make people play it for another year.
It's this very case-by-case sort of thing where...
Yeah.
This kind of ties into, to give a bit of another side of that, so ARMS has like sort of slowly been adding stuff over the years since it came out.
Yeah.
And like I think last week or the week before added a big patch with heaps of extra stuff in it. So there's now, since it launched, there's now 3 extra characters... 4 extra stages. There's like a badge system, which is like a kind of achievements thing,
right,
which you get in-game money for, which you can then use to unlock the arms a lot quicker, which, you know, my big complaint about it was you just get coins so slowly in that game.
Yep.
And it now has increased the rate with which you can get and unlock new arms. They did an event over the weekend where they'd kind of be all these timed bonuses where for 15 minutes at a time you had to use randomly assigned arms that they would give you. Like, it was really fun.
Mm.
And it's I'm kind of in two minds about it because I think it's, if anyone has sort of had it and sat on it for a little while and not gone back in, it's made it a lot more easy to recommend. Like, these they're kind of small things, but they've made it really, really good. Like, they've made it a lot better. So... But the problem is these are all things that arguably just should have been in there from day one. Like a lot of people's complaints about it when it came out, these things have addressed. And I think this was always their plan to kind of eventually bring this stuff in. But on the other hand, it was really nice for something that had just kind of, you know, had been sitting there for a bit and I hadn't played.
Yeah.
It was really nice to have all this new stuff and have an excuse to go back in.
Yeah.
And I spent a few hours with it over the weekend going, oh, that's right, I love this game.
Yeah,
where
right.
Where if that had all been there, I would have thrashed it at the same rate that I did earlier in the year.
Yep.
And probably just, you know, would have had my time with it and not come back to it. So
I don't understand the logic in this as a overall business decision because... If it's not paid DLC, then what is the benefit of keeping you engaged in a game over a long period of time?
So that you don't, because the problem is people trade stuff in and so then a game gets bought 3 times over,
right,
but they're not getting any money from it. So they don't want you to They don't want you to get it and be done with it in a month and then sell it and on-sell it. They want everyone who wants it to have to go and buy.
Yeah, okay.
I think that's what it's protecting. Totally. So it makes, a lot of sense. So yeah.
And then if you are making an element of your game this bunch of content that comes out over a period of time, you are also creating the structure in which you release it and the time frame in which you release it.
Yeah.
You're making that into a valid aspect of your game to criticize. And so, right. I don't think there's anything wrong with saying this is taking too long.
Yeah.
Because I'm fucking sitting on this thing. I'm losing interest.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same as if a TV series drags or whatever. It's,
yeah.
Because the way they've staggered this with ARMS is just weird, where they've done, you know, they went 4 months or something and then they just put a new character in it. And it's like, that's not enough. And then this big significant update, which has added events and badges and all this stuff, for this to come in, you know, November... when the game came out in whatever it was.
June, July.
It's like, that's kind of taken a while to... Who knows? We'll never know what the thinking is or how much of it is based on just like kind of whether this was always the plan or how much of it is based on filling in gaps of their schedule. But anyone who's got it who hasn't gone in for a while, I really recommend it because the new characters are really cool and they all play really differently. And the events, next time they do an event, make sure you get time to go in because it was really fun.
I just wanted to say to Aiden, I'm glad we can answer his question about Resident Evil 7 by talking about ARMS.
I don't know about you, Nox, but I just didn't find ARMS fun enough to play.
I enjoyed the co-op mode, the two of you go online and fight as a pair. That was the most fun I had, but I wasn't that into it. Yeah,
it came down to the pure mechanics of it.
Yeah.
I just didn't dig it as much as I thought I was going to.
I mean, you know, it's a type of game where you know pretty early on if you're in or you're out, but for whatever reason, it just clicked with me. And like going back in this weekend, I was like, I love this. Like it just, for whatever reason, I find it easy to get on with. Like I find it intuitive.
Mm.
Once, and again, they've really drifted away from the whole motion. You never hear them mention the motion control thing. Pitching it as that. Was a mistake, and you can customize the controls now.
Yeah, nice.
Like they've sort of done a bit of a 180 on it. Like I get the feeling that we'll get an ARMS 2 eventually where just kind of it's way more fully fledged. And
I also get the feeling that Nintendo will release a sequel to one of their games.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that will happen.
I honestly think they got this model of game right with Super Punch-Out, which I've been playing a lot of. It's really fun.
It's so weird that it wasn't Punch-Out Switch or whatever, right? Like it's pretty crazy that it was. Either way.
So this Resident Evil thing, but that's not even that big of a delay, like spring till December.
No, it's just the question was more about whether about DLC more broadly, the specific question. And then just a little bit about Resident Evil 7. He defends it by saying the crazy story is well balanced by the grounded gameplay. And if not for the part where you're on a fucking boat for an hour, it would be a perfect game. I would take that fucking boat for an hour and say the back half of the game.
Right.
So I did like it, but Resident Evil 7.
Right.
Our next email comes in from Rabia in Chicago.
Hello.
My question to Rabia, where's Chicago? No, my question.
Nox, can you read it in a Chicagoan accent?
Oh, God.
I'm going to say no, but I'm going to give it a shot.
Okay.
What games led to physical altercations when playing with your friends and siblings, if any? Because personally, Rabia has scars above their eyebrows where a ceramic plate met their 8-year-old forehead.
Fuck.
Flung by an older brother when they lost on the final boss of Super Mario Bros. 3.
Wow.
He blamed Rabia. Any weird logic or superstition that you encountered as a child with video games as well? So any massive, fights or kind of traditions or rituals around childhood?
I know that me and my sister definitely would have fought over our Nintendo.
Yeah.
I can't remember specifically.
Because of the concussions.
Yeah. Rosie, write in if you remember any times that I was probably a dick.
Here we go.
The internet has broken down today as we've run out of data for...
Her head just explodes with fury. But Nox, you have a brother.
Yeah.
I imagine you'd be more likely to have...
Not really. We never... It never really got... I think we both just kind of understood not to hit each other.
Okay.
For the most part, we never really fought, and except for when he was a baby and he first came back, I jumped on him from a couch, apparently.
Fucking
and like
hell.
In the people's elbow.
Yeah. Exactly. But it never was like we never really got into any intense stuff over video games, at least. And I can't think of any weird logic or superstition
that I encountered as a child with video games, other than making up lyrics to music that was in old, like, 16-bit games.
Nice.
Great. Every, like, one of them I remember, there's a Sonic 2 level where it goes, beep, beep, beep. And it was like a chemical plant. Mm-hmm. And I remember me and my brother were like, for some reason, thought this chemical plant makes clones. So it was making life.
That's cool.
It's real cool.
Yeah.
That's the coolest thing I've ever heard. We had a dog, and the dog went through a phase when it was really young of just like anything near the ground, it would chew, it would eat.
Yeah.
And I remember leaving a controller out that had a memory card in it, and memory card just ripped to shreds.
Fuck.
Save game gone. I can't remember what the game was, but I was near the end of it, and I was just like fucking devastated.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. I think a couple of cartridges got destroyed as well by this dog. But in terms of altercations with friends and stuff, I can't really remember. Like, I'm not competitive, so I've never been someone who, if I'm playing against someone at something and they are beating me or whatever, I crack the shits. Like, I don't care.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I remember a friend's little brother. We were playing Jedi Knight 3. Academy.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah. And we were doing the multiplayer of that.
I'd like the saber battles.
His little brother complaining that it wasn't fair.
Right.
And I said, it's not meant to be fair. I still remember that and felt bad about it afterwards. This is where I was like 11. Yeah. But man, you got to beat this bloody world, man. You got to take it by the balls.
Yeah.
And I got two things in this world, my balls and
that's two.
A huge pain in my balls because I keep grabbing them.
Oh, no.
To show what the world is like. But yeah, so I think we were all pretty calm as kids, it sounds like.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not competitive, and like, I'm not that kind of person that's going to crack the shits if I don't win in a game, and I think that just means I don't gravitate to people that are like that either.
I don't externally crack the shits. I get very competitive with competitive gaming.
Right.
And like board games, like anything like that. Right, if it's an actual competition, I want to win, but I don't like spit the dummy. Yeah. I just get annoyed that I didn't win.
You will go quiet, go into your bedroom and ask everyone to leave.
Yeah, that's right.
I remember there being a lot of fights in my group of friends about who would get to be odd job in
right.
Because you're immediately at an advantage because no one can fucking see. And so that, I think that's the close ever came of like just us deciding that there needed to be a system of like, well, we've got to rotate him.
Yeah.
And then someone else just going, no, I just got him first. So now that's how it works. It's like, you can't.
But he won, right? Like, he probably got to be him.
Yeah.
That's the world, man. I got two things, my balls and odd job. And odd job's balls are very low. Makes him a better fighter. This is from Liam. All of what I just said.
What's your question, Liam?
Good timing.
He had a story about wanting to... well, about how you, Tommy, were saying that you didn't like taking damage in games because it feels like you failed.
Mm.
He got into Magic the Gathering and it changed his perspective on things because he now views everything as a resource to be used outside of mission objectives. So weapons, times, potions, and life are all now to be used to complete the levels. And I think that's really interesting because I realized I'm very similar to you in the way that I never use anything if I can avoid it. I try to avoid getting hit. Like, if I finish an RPG,
right,
I will have 100 potions left.
Oh, interesting.
Because I wanted to avoid using them.
Right.
My thing, for anyone who didn't hear that when I said that on that episode, specifically my thing was why I found it difficult to get into turn-based stuff because you have to take damage.
Yes.
You can't dodge it. A round comes where you just have to take a hit and it's frustrating because it feels like a failing. And it took me... My specific example was the Mario Rabbids game.
Yeah.
And in that, you can't get potions. There's no healing. And I mean, some people in your team can heal you, but...
Yeah,
But no, I'm a huge, like... I use that stuff all the time when I have it, but I'm also very bad at those games in forgetting to go to the shop or whatever and load up. So I'm constantly in things where I'm like, oh, I fuck this. I've got two little potion things.
Yeah, right.
And then I go back in again without remembering to have gone and actually loaded up on them.
Like, I just
kind of forget that they exist.
Right.
In those games.
Yeah, I don't know. I think what is the more common attitude, which is just like, yeah, like get hit, have a potion. It's all about balancing, you know, what you collect versus what you use. And I like collecting shit in games. Like, I don't like people. I don't really understand that problem with Assassin's Creed, where people were like, "It's a collectathon. It's just 100 feathers." It's like that's fun. I like to do that.
But if it's 100 boring feathers, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
I think that's part of the problem. Is I have the same thing where I want to have the 100 feathers, but if it's a fucking chore to get them,
right?
Then that's a shame.
I think like the way I play games when I'm really playing them is like, go to every corner of every room, collect everything.
I mean, yeah, that's those collecting things. That's why they're all there, is to get you to see.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all the moons that are hidden in Mario Odyssey. It's they're there to get you to see
exactly
every little crack of this little level that they've designed.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it is a good feel when you do remember, and there's nothing like stocking up in a game like that before you go into a big battle or whatever. And
I just feel so
absolutely.
Yeah.
When you finish something and you're like, okay, well, I never used any of the stuff that I had.
Yeah.
I made it harder for myself just because I was saving it for a rainy day.
Yeah.
And then when the rainy day came, I went, no, it might rain tomorrow.
Yeah.
Which is probably just a bad psychological way to behave.
Yeah,
or good.
Kind of,
not living paycheck to paycheck.
Right,
yeah,
which
sorry.
Is I'm bad at save. I just, you know, I live for the moment, baby. Mm-hmm. If that moment involves collecting feathers from every corner of every room,
fuck yeah!
I do have a
live
bit
the
of
moment
in
Assassin's Creed Caraway.
I do that in games where, like, early on, if you can buy stuff in there, I kind of get freaked out and go, "Oh, what if I need this money for something like actually important to the game in the next little bit?" It's often halfway between in a game where I go, I feel pretty safe spending this money now.
Right.
I can lash out without kind of feeling like I've hindered myself in any way.
Yeah, I can buy some stickers to put in my Odyssey.
Oh, man, the best.
Yeah.
Buying your little toys for the Odyssey. Well, I reckon we should wrap this up for another week.
Yeah. Sure.
What do you say, boyos?
Yeah, no more questions?
There's a couple more questions, but we could save them if we're out of time, or go through them quickly now. What do we want to do?
Let's go through them, baby.
Go through them, get them out there, flush them out.
Potions for a rainy day?
No, I say use them, live in the moment.
Use it all right.
All right, I'll use one. We've got two more that I'm going to read out here.
It's
this one's either from Alex or James, because both of those names are here. There's basically a story about playing Dishonored 2, and Alex or James was wondering what our thoughts were on linearity as opposed to freedom in games in general, which are...
It's horses for courses. Uncharted is fantastic and linear, and Far Cry 4 is fantastic and open.
Like, you know, I've been finding I get a lot more intimidated. I'm much more likely to, if a game is linear these days, go, I will play this because I know it will end.
And for something like, I think specifically the position that the three of us are in, where we're kind of trying to play as much as we can talk about on the show, nothing better than something where it's just like, it's just all there.
Yeah.
You just sit down and put the time in and you're just going to get through it and then you'll be done.
And you haven't played Skyrim recently. Like, the amount of fucking bugs and bullshit that happen in games that are open doesn't really exist often in more linear games.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which, like, a really high quality linear game would generally beat out a high quality open game for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fair.
I also think we're at a point now with open stuff where the bar is just so tremendously high. There's just these like new heights every time of like the scale and the world building that, you know, are we close to being a bit fatigued by all that?
I'm not. I know, like, I agree with your perspective on linear games. Mm. However, I just love open world games. I love No Man's Sky. I still love it. But I also like the very contained and short experience of Firewatch. Like, I don't know. But I just fucking love open world games. It's what I always wanted games to be.
Yeah, right.
I just very quickly these days get to a point where if a game is open and like doesn't have a good justification for it or a good way of getting you to the next cool thing to see, then I very quickly go, okay, well, fuck you.
Right.
I'm not running around your bloody hoops or jumping through them or whatever you had to do with hoops.
That was the thing that I think is a very cool and I guess kind of different to a lot of other open world things with Breath of the Wild, where you've always got this castle in the center that you can see from a large portion of the world and it's got all the swirling shit around it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You've always got this thing there reminding you of like, oh yeah, that's what I'm doing here. That castle's fucked.
Sure.
And the ultimate aim is get in there and kill that guy.
Yeah.
Whereas sometimes you get, if you're just running around doing all these quests, you kind of get, without having that solid anchor, that's kind of, I thought that's maybe the neatest design thing of it, the fact that there's this grounding thing right in the middle of the world, kind of always reminding you what you're doing.
Totally. Right. I kind of not resent it, but I'm like, I kind of don't want to finish that game. I've gone to the castle. I'm gonna finish it, but I just loved how free it was.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was a good example of that, and I think there for everyone that is like that, there are 10 games where it's like you made this open world and it didn't need to be like LA Noire or something.
Sure. Yeah.
And it's very rarely that you will say of a linear game, you're just being linear for the sake of being linear, you know? There are other criticisms where you can say I didn't really have any choice in what I was doing and I was pushing forward the whole time.
I mean two of the most fun experiences of gaming I've had this year have been Breath of the Wild and then Sonic Mania, which is just as linear as they come. And I just liked that I knocked it off in a few days. Just sat down, played through some fun levels and was like, that was fucking great. Yeah.
My favorite thing, fun levels. I love them.
You are just riding my ass tonight, buddy.
I'm agreeing with you. I'm saying I like fun levels. One more question from Stu. It's a pretty broad question. What are your thoughts on Humble Bundle / Steam sales, i.e. super low prices for PC games?
Yeah.
I hear some people think the prices are too low and make game development unsustainable. So it's about video game pricing, if anything.
It seemed like a weird question to begin with. It's like, hey, what are your controversial takes on stuff not costing much?
But
like, I'm going to say pretty good.
A lot of like video games being as cheap as they are, which they are cheap for what they are and how much they cost to make a lot of the time, is why we're seeing all this microtransaction stuff.
No, it's not. The games that we're having issues with
Dr.
having
Economy
micro...
Economy over here is going to school...
The games that we have issues with microtransactions in are games that are being put out by publishers that are making billions of dollars a year.
Right, but it's the same stuff as like the season passes and all that stuff of they just want to make more money off of the one game, I suppose.
Yeah.
But you do see stuff of like even quite successful indie games that sold for relatively little... for little money, for $5 each or whatever.
The people
who make them don't get a huge amount of money.
Sure. Well, that's a completely different. Yes. Like I'm. Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah.
But DICE aren't struggling.
Well, I don't know if that's. I mean, yes, EA has a lot of money, but the amount of money it fucking costs to.
It's a wrong. I looked this up over the past couple of days because I'm really interested in this weird thing that's happening in gaming. EA, it's not just their turnover, like their profits are in the literal billions. Like pure profits, post-marketing, post-wages, they're making literally billions of dollars.
And then there's heaps
of
shit where you can, like, people don't get paid enough to make games, but then...
That's about the way a business is run.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's a wrong-headed business thing to think that your huge marketing budget that you probably didn't need is in some way an element of what the cost of that game needs to recoup. Or like, it's the same with movies. When there can be this movie that makes $125 million and it's a fucking disappointment. That's insane.
Yeah.
Or like, it was like Tomb Raider or something. I can't remember what it was. Something sold a million copies and they were like,
It was Tomb Raider. Yeah. Right. But then on the other hand, I'm very skeptical or suspicious of these Humble Bundle things, because how is anyone making money out of that?
Mm.
That seems ridiculously lowly priced.
Does it just happen at a point where, you know, they're just going, let's be realistic, it's been out for a little while now, we've made all the big money that we're going to make from this.
Sure, sure.
This now is just like, look, you know what, everyone's circumstances are different.
Yeah.
If we get this out and, you know, maybe it's a bit of like, look, people get this one for free, or for whatever, $2, and they hadn't played it before. Hopefully they love it and they become invested in us in a company, and then the next thing that we do, they love us now, and so day one they'll jump on it. Like,
I guess
that's probably the thinking.
And I reckon like the Humble Bundle like service would have a pretty massive email database, so it's almost like free marketing.
They do a lot of stuff for charity too.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Donate the money that you spend.
I will say I think there's a very fine line between like, yeah, what is the perfect price? Like, what's a good deal?
$2.99.
Like, what's a good discount and a good deal versus... And I reckon we all would have been guilty of this.
Mm.
If I've bought many, many things because they're cheap, and then I've never ended up playing them.
Yeah.
Because they were so cheap that it's easy to forget about. If you go to a shop and you spend $80 on something day one, you're going to play a lot of it because you're invested. And it's something that just... Like, I have so many things sitting around that I bought because they were, oh, I was wanting to play that, $5. But there's no There's no reason to care.
We discussed this in our Patreon Facebook group, actually, like within the past couple of days, con the Fruiterer style.
Just so passionate.
Matter of fact. Yeah. But like you're delivering bad news to a bereaved family. Your husband's only going to last a couple of days.
Con the Fruiterer.
But people are posting their Steam libraries and the percentage of games they'd actually played.
Right.
I've only played 41% of games that I own on Steam, and I own 150 games.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely. That's definitely something that happens.
Yeah.
It's weird. Yeah. It's hard to say how much it should cost and how much poor business shit can make it seem like you're not selling a bunch of copy. Like,
yeah.
Well, as we all know from doing comedy, specifically shows in comedy festivals.
Yeah.
And we all know people that work in the information booth of the comedy festival where people come to ask for recommendations.
Yeah.
And I've heard it said a lot that there's a thinking that like, if I make my show really cheap, I'm being competitive. Like more people are going to come because it's cheap. And I've heard many stories of a punter being told, go to this, and they look at it and they go, $10.
Yeah.
This guy must be shit if he's charging this much.
Totally.
So, you see it in action. Like, it's a bit of an assumption. And I kind of have it with games a bit too. It's like, it's $2. Like, yeah, this can't be good.
Yeah.
I don't know. But also, it's easy to forget that, everyone's circumstances are different. And I'm sure there's plenty of people out there who just, can't afford to play everything at full price. And so if it means that,
completely.
People get to play it because it's finally $3, then that's great. And people like us get it and forget to play it. Like, I don't think that's a reason for it to not exist.
And I think, I'm sure someone will point this out to us if we don't mention it. I believe that there have been studies on the kind of like pay what you want and that leading to more revenue.
Yeah.
So that is, definitely something that I've heard.
Yeah.
In some situations, but then that depends so much on different elements of I don't know, man. Money is fucking confusing.
Yeah.
And we should all just, let go of it, get out there on the road, fucking take some heroin.
Oh, baby.
And just Kerouac this shit up, man. And there's 100 feathers out here somewhere. And one of them's behind my malaise.
Yep.
One of them's underneath a black dog.
Oh, baby. Now, so to go on the record and with a finality to this discussion, I want to say that microtransactions are bad. They're disgusting. They're horrendous. I love Star Wars Battlefront 2 and I've been playing it so much and I really think everyone should play it. But yeah, genuinely, I have been playing it a lot more.
Yep.
I've been playing a lot of the multiplayer, which I generally don't like, but I've been loving that.
Yeah.
I love the situations it puts you in, the big galactic assaults, the starfighter stuff, but also, the ground missions, playing with a team of random people, going from objective to objective in a Star Wars world.
It's a fun game.
It's a fun game. I like it a lot. Cool. I've been playing it a lot.
And it's got deliberately fucking predatory gambling bullshit in it.
Yes.
Yeah, world's weird, man. Yeah. Money, the almighty dollar.
Oh, hell yeah.
That's what I call it. Please, we're on patreon.com/filthycasuals podcast.
Well, I think so.
Wrap this up for another week because we have to do another one of these, which if you're a Patreon subscriber, you will be getting what? You'll have gotten it?
It'll be the same day.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Today, today is.
So, our Sydney show, December the 16th, Cake Wines in Sydney. We're really looking forward to that.
Yes, it's going to be heaps of fun. It's a daytime show.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Yep. That's happening in the afternoon, and then Knox and I are both doing stand-up at the Comedy Store afterwards if you want to get a ticket to that and come down. Great lineup.
I'm not interested.
Okay, cool. Go jack your little dick in your fucking flea-ridden motel you got for the night.
It's actually a 5-star hotel.
Really? No. Are you staying at the Hilton, bro?
That's hot.
And anyway, me and Knox, I'm with a bunch of people. They're all really good. So come check those shows out. Our live show in Sydney, December 16. We are on Patreon. If you enjoy getting the show for free and you want to chip in a little bit to support what
just
we do.
Just a micro amount.
Just a small transaction.
You will unlock some extra content.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get extra content. You get heaps of cool stuff.
Yeah.
You go towards us being able to justify the time to make video content.
Yeah.
Which will be great when that happens.
We're rolling up on that.
Yeah, we really want to do it.
Yeah.
So give us money.
Yeah. We've got some cool shit that we are going to do.
Yeah, we do have some plans. Yeah.
Hopefully we've got some kind of poll going out in the next couple of days.
I got a poll going out in the next couple of minutes, mate.
Hell yes. People can vote on their game of the year. We'll get that in at the end of the year. Yes, send us your emails. We always read them, and eventually we get around to them on the show.
Yes.
Even if we do get sidetracked sometimes. All of this stuff you can find at filthycasuals.com.au. Thank you very much for joining us. We'll see you next week. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals...
Near Automata, I barely know her. I said it like so happily. I was proud.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.